Good morning. Glad to be here this morning with you, and I want to welcome all the members and the visitors alike. So if you are visiting, please stick around for a minute after service and give us a chance to get to know you and shake your hand. I thought the service this morning has been just so beautiful with the songs and with George's thoughts, and just it's all very relevant to what we're going to talk about this morning. And the rain this morning also was touching to me on our subject. So I know we're all very busy, and you could have chosen to be anywhere this morning, but you chose to be here worshiping with the saints, and we're grateful for that. And it's those busy times that I want to talk to you about this morning as we go through on our journey. And those busy times can start to weigh on us, and that's been what I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of weeks. And I wanted to know what the Bible said about feeling overwhelmed. Was Jesus overwhelmed? Were any of the apostles overwhelmed? Were people in the Old Testament overwhelmed? I know that I feel overwhelmed. And if my Savior was created in the same image as He created everyone in His image, then surely we all have been overwhelmed. So, and I was at work, and you know, there's a new lady starting. My longtime coworker, who's very good at her job, is moving to Texas, and so I'm going to have some added responsibilities. And you know, I worked over 100 hours at the bank the last 2 weeks, and then I came home and there was a leaky pipe in my room, and then the dehumidifier broke, so all that water that had been leaking out of the pipe just sat there on the floor. And well, I don't want the mold to build up because of the renters, and I don't want them to get sick, but what if there is mold? Are the renters going to pay? Are they still going to pay their rent? Am I going to be able to make my house payment? Am I going to be able to pay my credit card for the month? And on top of that, it's my grandpa's birthday. I forgot to call him. But you see how those things can spiral out of control very easily? And those are just small examples. And we all have our own battles. But how do we win? Or can we win? Or do we just continually find our life overwhelmed? I'm here to tell you this morning that we can win. But there's only one way to win, and that's through the hope and strength and comfort of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I made a little fun acronym for you to take with you throughout the week so that you can remember every time you get overwhelmed, you need some space. So if you're taking notes, maybe that's something you'd want to write down, and I'll go through this morning and tell you what space stands for, and then I'll explain to you why it's scripturally relevant as we go throughout our journey. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open to Mark chapter 1, and we'll begin there in verse 28. And the first one we'll talk about is following the example that Jesus left for us. You see, Jesus, in verses leading up to verse 28, He has just commanded an unclean spirit out of a man. In verse 26, He has a loud voice, and He says, "Who is this man?" There's convulsions, and the spirit says, "Who is this man?" And so we want to know, who is the man? And so we'll pick it up there in verse 28. Immediately news about Him spread everywhere throughout the surrounding district of Galilee. And immediately they came out of the synagogue, and they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately Jesus spoke to her. You see, what's happened so far is that Jesus has just performed a miracle, and the word has spread so rapidly, even as it does today. And so as He comes along, He wants to seclude Himself away from the cares and the burdens of the world. He comes along to a house that He knows well. He's come to the house of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law is there. And in verse 30, and she is sick with a fever, and immediately Jesus spoke. They spoke to Jesus about her. And in verse 31, He came up to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. So even in a time that Jesus is trying to just get away, He still has people come to Him, and so they wait there and they eat. And in verse 32, then evening comes, and after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered throughout the door. You see how fast word spreads. And if I had a sick one, a loved one in this time, I would have brought them to Jesus' door. But we see that, we'll see why Jesus was put on this earth. It wasn't just to heal the sick. But he starts to gather around. And in verse 34, he healed many who were ill with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. So there's a crowd pressing around the house. And you could imagine what Jesus is going through. He heals one person, they bring the next one to him. You know, you tackle one problem in your life, the next one comes up. But let's look at what he does in verse 35 in response to these actions. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house. And he went away to a secluded place, and he was praying there. You see, he secluded himself, and then he prayed, would be the P. So, he prayed, and then in verse 36, Simon and his companions searched for him. They couldn't find him. They said, Jesus, there is a lot more people out there that need your help. And then in verse 37, they find him and say, everyone is looking for you. He says, let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so I may preach there also, for that is what I came for. You see, sometimes we just need to escape for a little bit, whether that's a vacation or maybe a Bible camp or somewhere else. I can think about how refreshed we all felt after we came back from Bible camp and being out in God's creation and seeing what He has made. And it's in those quiet places can be the best time to see God's beauty and enjoy it. I grew up out on a farm, and it was so nice to be able to sit outside and just listen to the things that God had created and look at the trees and look at the hills. And, you know, maybe you have a lake or a pond, or maybe you live in town. I was invited out to Dustin and Julie's home, and I just felt so refreshed even after one night of being out there and spending time in God's creation. And I think about a Colorado trip we had a couple of years ago, and we stopped at the Royal Gorge on the way back after seeing the mountains and taking a horse ride up, so you could see for miles over there over everything that God had created, and it was beautiful. And it was a secluded place, and we prayed there. But what are we going to pray for? The A is to ask God for what we want. So as we're enjoying the things that God had created, we can see that Jesus came to preach there. He didn't come to just heal the sick with no purpose. He didn't come to run a free clinic. He came to preach and teach the gospel. And we'll look at another example in Mark chapter 6, if you'll come over a couple of verses, chapters. Mark chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 30. This is just after Jesus has sent out the 12 to go preach and do miracles and heal the sick ones. And the apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to him all that they had done and taught. So they came and they talked about everything they had done, all the things they had seen, and they shared with each other, and they were encouraged. And in verse 31, he said to them, come away yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. They went away in a boat to a secluded place by themselves. You see, we're often tired after we have a long journey or a long day at work, and we just need to seclude ourselves for a little bit. And that's what the 12 did here. And you can see they needed their batteries recharged because they were about to feed 5,000 people with a very small amount of food. If you would come over even further with me to Mark chapter 14, and we'll see another example. This time, Jesus has a lot on his mind. So in Mark chapter 14, in verse 32, they came to a place named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." You see, Jesus has secluded himself with his disciples, and now he's about to seclude himself, just go even further, alone by himself, and pray. And he's about to ask God for what he wants. In verse 35, he went beyond them a little and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, that the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible through you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." You see, Jesus is he's now concentrating on the things of the Lord and trying to meditate on his response. So he's secluded, he's prayed, he's asked God, he's concentrating on his response. And if you want to come over with me now, in verse 34, I had another version that I liked. Out of the NIV, it says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." And Jesus embraces what is about to become of him afterwards. So, enduring and embracing the past goodness of God is the E. So let's look at one more man and his response when he was overwhelmed. If you would come to Psalm 143 with me, way back in the Old Testament. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness and in your righteousness, and do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight no man is living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in the dark places like those who have long been dead." Have you ever felt a persecution where you felt that the enemy has persecuted your soul? I know I was feeling really down. And then what was your response? So I'll give you an example from me. I was recently up for promotion at work, and I really felt like I was going to get it. I had some encouraging conversations with everyone at the bank and with the supervisors, and I had a good interview. And I really felt like that I was going to get it. And I started making some arrangements before the final decision was made. And when the final decision was made, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was someone else. Someone else had been selected, and I thought to myself, I'm really upset. And do I go look for another job? Do I just act unbecomingly? Do I try and tough it out until I can find something else, or do I try and learn from this person that they've brought in that maybe has a little more experience? Do I pray about it? Do I think about what Jesus would want me to do? And so I went home that night, and luckily I already live alone, so I secluded myself, and I started to pray, and I was praying rather angrily, admittedly, and then I asked God to give me some peace, and so He did give me some peace, and I really concentrated once this new gentleman started at work, and things have been going really well because I know I have these good times in the past that I can embrace and fall back on. And that's the things that carries us through. You can see what God has done for you in the past and what He continues to do for you in the future. And it's those past actions of God that let us know that He's going to keep continuing to bless us throughout our life. So as we come through to verse 4, we'll look at David's response. It says, "Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart is appalled within me." I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you as a parched land. You see, now David he's already secluded. He's praying now. And he remembers the past goodness of God in his prayer. In verse 7 it says he's going to ask for what he wants. He says, "Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul." And then he asks even more for what he wants. He says in verse 9, "Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you." And in verse 12, he says, "In your loving kindness, cut off my enemies and destroy those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant." See, David is concentrating on the things of God. And the New Living Translation in verse 5 reads, "I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done." So we'll go over to one more in the book of Psalms. Chapter 61. Psalm 61. And then we'll come back and make a New Testament application, and then we'll wrap up. Psalm 61, verse 1. "Hear my cry, O Lord. Give heed to my prayer." Do you notice a pattern here? Every time someone's in distress, David or Jesus or others, they always start out with a prayer. "Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, and my heart is faint or overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." You see, God is a tower of strength against our enemy, and He wants us to be in His tower. He wants to keep us safe. His inheritance for us is eternal life. He says that in verse 5, "For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. And you prolong the king's life. His years be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth, that they may also preserve him." David asks for loving kindness and truth. He asks for the things that he wants, and God will grant those to him. So as we remember that strength that we have to persist against evil, because as was read earlier, it's a living battle that we fight, but we're not always overwhelmed. So in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in the last part of the chapter, it talks about the armor of God, and these are the things we use to fight against the forces of evil. It says, "Be strong," in verse 10, "in the Lord, and put the strength and in the strength of His might." In verse 18, this is what I want to leave you with this morning: "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." And I really liked how that read in the New Living Translation in verse 18. It says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage each other. We want to be there when others feel overwhelmed. It won't always be easy. It will, in fact, rarely be easy, but we know that if we get some space, so remember, seclude, pray, ask, concentrate, and endure or embrace the past goodness of God, we can overcome all things that stand in our way. The closer we will move toward the Lord and His strength. Maybe this morning you have been separated from Christ, or maybe you haven't come in contact yet with the blood that has the power to forgive all your sins through baptism. Maybe this morning we can pray for you, or we can do anything else for you. If you have a need, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?